Please turn in your Bibles or bulletins to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We'll also be looking at Matthew 11, 25 through 28. As you're turning there, we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit. These are the characteristics that the Holy Spirit is growing in all of God's people. All these fruit grow together. They are interrelated, interconnected. Today we're looking at the fruit of gentleness. Let's give attention to God's holy word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Matthew 11. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let us look to God in prayer. O Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would be with us now, that you would apply your word to our hearts, that we would be attentive and quick to listen, quick to obey, and that you would continue to transform us into the image of your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for several weeks now, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Among this list, are there fruits that jump out to you as more important? And are there fruits that you're tempted to gloss over? Perhaps I'm wrong, but I'd wager a guess that love and peace and goodness tend to jump out at you. Why? These fit our cultural values. In our culture, we want to be a good person, we want to be a loving person, we want to find peace. But what about gentleness? As you read through this list, did that one jump out in the same way as every other characteristic? Again, this could be my subjective take, but it appears to me we tend to be a bit ambivalent about this idea of gentleness. It appears to me, and again, I could be wrong, but it seems like we view gentleness as akin to weakness. There's a perception that a gentle person is a pushover. You can get their way. They're demure. They don't stand up for themselves. They have no core. They're not strong. A perception that gentleness is weakness. I think we especially see this in the ways that men in particular are tempted by macho stereotypes. For you men in the room, when you hear the word gentleness, do you think of this primarily as a motherly characteristic? You feel your job is to be tough, to stand strong. But this list is a list of characteristics for every single one of God's people, men and women alike. And so there's a famous classic Christian book written 25 years ago called Tender Warrior. I was reading Jerry Bridges this last week, and he shares, he has a friend who is a former Marine, and every time this Marine wrote a letter to Jerry Bridges, he signed it, "Keep tough and tender." If you're tempted to check out when this topic of gentleness comes up, perhaps this is the very characteristic you need to listen to the most. I think another interesting thing about gentleness is it, again, this is just my observation, I think we can view this as optional. Yes, everyone should love. But man, there's some circumstances where you just got to be blunt. We're Americans, after all. We believe in telling the unvarnished truth, which translates to sometimes we disconnect truth and love. Varnish is actually makes wood look better. God calls us to be gentle. Perhaps it is you recognize the value of gentleness, but if you're like me, this one is easily one to look over. And yet, it's in the list, alongside all the others, this list of things that the Spirit of God produces in God's people. And the reason why the Spirit produces these things in God's people is these things reflect the character of God Himself. So we are called to be a gentle people. What does this look like? In order to understand this, I want to look at three things. First, what gentleness is. Secondly, how gentleness grows. And third, where gentleness applies. So first of all, what gentleness is? What's the word here? What's the concept? What's the idea? There are two Greek synonyms, both translated as gentleness in different places. One is praus, another is epiekes. They both have the same general sense. The general sense is that you're not overly impressed with your own self-importance. There's a humility. There's a considerateness. There's a meekness. And so Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's the noun form of what we have here in Galatians 5, the adjectival form of gentleness. This word is often related to words like soothing, allaying, calming. It's the calm presence in the room, someone that is mild and friendly, gentle and pleasant. Again, the Bible does not say these things are weakness. Think about Jesus Christ. We'll get more in depth into Matthew 11, but he describes himself as gentle and lowly in heart. And was there anyone else with the strength like his? He was tough and tender. So this gentleness is an active attitude. It was actually a characteristic that was admired in some parts of the Greco-Roman world. Socrates was held up as a model. This gentleness was not self-abasement. It was a mark of the high-minded, those who could remain calm even in adversity. So it's not weakness, it's meekness. It's not being demure, it's being dignified. It's not being self-focused, it's other-focused. So listen to some scriptures that call us to gentleness. Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." 2 Corinthians 10:1, "I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Ephesians 4:2, "We are to live with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Colossians 3:12, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Titus 3:2, "Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people." James 3:13, "Who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." And I would especially note of that list, 2 Corinthians 10:1 and Titus 3:2 use both synonyms for gentleness, driving home the point that as God's people, we're called to be gentle. I love to consider gentleness in the context of training animals. As you look throughout culture and history, there's two main methods for training animals. One uses fear, and it gets results to a degree. Think about the classic Jack London, Call of the Wild, the second chapter in that book when a dog is faced with the man with the red sweater, the guy that has the club. The name of the chapter, The Law of Club and Fang. Jack writes about this dog that wants to control the pack, and what he comes face to face with is the guy with the club is a lot smarter and quicker than he is. And he learns to fear the club after getting beaten time and again and again. But there's no love, and no one is gentle. Then there are people that gentle animals. They tame them. They're patient, they care for them, they understand how that the bent of that animal and how the animal is made, and they seek to communicate and lead that animal in a way where the animal is truly gentled. And so it has been not just with animals, but with people, that throughout history and time, some people use power and control to try and get results. And it works to a level, but it leaves carnage in its wake. And what gentleness is showing a respect for someone, addressing issues and caring, but doing so with patience, with considerateness, with courtesy. See, gentleness is the opposite of harshness. It's related to humility. It shows courtesy and care. This is what gentleness is. How is it that gentleness grows? As with all these characteristics, these are fruit of the Spirit. They're descriptors of God. So gentleness grows. It begins when we come to Christ. Look with me in Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ calls us to come to him. And Christ promises rest to those who are burdened. Christ offers his yoke. Look in verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." And notice here, Christ describes his own heart. There's another place in the Gospels where he does this. And what does he say when he describes his own heart? This is so countercultural for so many parts of world history. Look at his description. "I am gentle and lowly in heart." In the Greco-Roman world, hubris, pride, was a virtue. And here Jesus describes himself as gentle and lowly. When Isaiah foretells of Christ coming, in Isaiah 42:3, he describes Jesus in this way: "A bruised reed he will not break." One of the ironies of this passage is sometimes people read that and they say, "You're telling me I'm a bruised reed?" Aren't we all? And yet the scriptures tell us that Jesus comes with gentleness, coming to bring healing, coming to show true care, true kindness, true love. We heard earlier read from Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 verse 9 is this phrase after phrase after phrase telling the people of Israel they've got news to declare. And what is that news? Isaiah 40:10, "Behold, what are we to see? And this is what we see. The Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." He's tough. He's the king. He comes with power. And then the description of his tenderness, verse 11, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." How does gentleness grow? Gentleness describes the character of God himself. God is gentle with his people. And so gentleness begins when we come to Christ. When we come to him, when we lay our burdens down, when we find that he is the only one that can forgive us of our sins because of his death on the cross, and he's the only one strong enough to carry the burdens of our sorrows and struggles and difficulties and trials. And he, look at what he tells us, to learn from him, verse 29. We're to learn from his gentleness. So gentleness begins when we come to Christ. And one other thing I want to remind us about this passage, there's this universal call, "Come to me." Jesus invites all people to come. But gentleness includes humility, includes not having self-regard, not thinking that we're important. If we hear his call to come and we obey, this passage also reminds us that we only do so because of his grace. Look back in verses 25 through 27. These verses remind us that God alone is the one that can make himself known. Look at the last phrase of verse 27. "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then there's the universal call, verse 28, "Come." So you can only come if Jesus has made himself known, if Jesus has stirred your heart, if Jesus has worked in you. In other words, like many other passages in the scriptures, this passage shows us the absolute sovereignty of God in salvation, that he alone saves, and yet this does not undermine human response and human responsibility. Side by side, the absolute sovereignty of God, that God is the author of salvation beginning to end, and yet we are not thereby made puppets. We are called to heed his voice, to listen to his command, to listen to his invitation, and to come. Gentleness begins with coming to Christ. Have you come to him? Many of you in this room have. Think about that old spiritual, "I feel better since I laid my burdens down." That if you've come to Christ, that means you can release all the burdens you're carrying. Look at his invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He invites us to lay our heavy burdens down. Verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden light. He tells us that he's the one that will carry us and that we can simply listen to his voice and live in the way that he calls us. And here's where we see why gentleness begins with coming to Christ. It's duly so because, first of all, we experience the gentleness of Christ, but secondly, Christ's gentleness is what frees us to be gentle. Because if I know that I belong to my Savior, not because of anything I've done, but purely because of his love, then that means I can be calm when things aren't going well. I can be gentle when people around me are not gentle. Now notice I say I can be. I don't live this out perfectly. This passage convicts me. But in Christ, I have that freedom. And this is what brings us to our second part of how we grow. First, it's coming to Christ. Secondly, gentleness grows as we abide in Christ. It's as we see that Jesus is the one who has freed us. We are given his yoke. We don't have to carry our burdens. That I can be at peace with God because of Jesus, which means no matter what I'm facing, I don't have to get bent out of shape. Now, I might take my eyes off of Jesus and I might actually get bent out of shape. And that's wrong of me. And I suspect you're like me, that you struggle with that as well. But look at how as we abide in Christ, we are thereby freed to continually grow in practically being gentle. If our eyes are fixed on the one who is gentle and lowly in heart, look at what he promises. You will find rest for your souls. What burden are you facing? If every moment of every day you truly remembered that the King of Kings loved you so much, he sent his very own son, that Jesus came freely to die on the cross on your behalf, to call you into his family, that you know that all eternity is held in his hands and that he will never let go of you. If that reality is present before you moment by moment, do you not see how that can transform your approach to everything you face? Because it means you have rest. Even if circumstances are still not what you wish they were. You shall find rest for your souls, and it's as we are abiding in Christ that we're able to walk in gentleness. Gentleness grows as our knowledge of the love of God grows. What this means is I don't need to be harsh if I don't get my way. I don't need to be harsh if things are beyond my control. I don't need to lose control of my emotions. My Savior loves me now and always. And so I can respond with gentleness to what's in front of me. How does gentleness grow? First of all, we must come to Christ and find in him freedom, a freedom that only he can give. And for those who have never come before, Christ invites you to come today and to taste and see that he is good and that you can experience rest for your souls. And for those of you who have come, this passage reminds us that the way that we grow in gentleness is by abiding, continually coming back, setting our burdens down at his feet through prayer, asking him to carry what we cannot carry ourselves, and then in his strength, still living the life that he would have us live day to day as we long for the life of the world to come. So we've looked at what gentleness is, we looked at how it grows, where gentleness applies. Now, this is kind of unfair. It's a trick heading, right? Where does gentleness apply? Is there anywhere it shouldn't apply? And yet I wanted us to think through this because we do think as if sometimes it's okay to not be gentle. I want to go back to two verses I read earlier. First of all, 2 Corinthians 10, this is one of the ones that uses both synonyms for gentleness. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Both characterize our Savior. And because they characterize our Savior, they are to characterize us. So Titus 3:2, speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. There's one of the usages. And then the second one, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. Okay, now we can see that this applies everywhere. There's no asterisk there. It doesn't say until they push your buttons this many times. to show perfect courtesy towards all people. That's rather universal in where gentleness applies. And yet the reason that I've made this a third point is because we skip right over that, and we tend to think that if my behavior is excusable, if that person does X, then it's okay for me to do Y. If they push me too many times, then I can remove my gentleness as a form of judgment. No. The scriptures tell us that vengeance belongs to the Lord, that he alone has the wisdom and the right and the goodness to truly bring judgment. It is true in Matthew 23 that Jesus predicts woes upon the Pharisees, and yet remember that he is the one who is the king. He is the one who is the judge of the whole earth, and we do not hold that role. And so what God commands us, as we await the end of the time when the king will come in glory and will judge rightly according to his character and his justice, we are called to gentleness and patience in all circumstances at all time. Again, the heading I'm using here is the question of where gentleness applies, and it really is everywhere. Now, this is very convicting, at least for me. Maybe the reason why we skip right over gentleness is because we don't want to face how often we are not gentle. Where to be gentle in places where wisdom is required. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom, the gentleness of wisdom. Gentleness towards people when correction is needed. Brothers, Galatians 6:1, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Or Titus 2:25, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Notice the correction that we're called to give to others isn't a form of judgment. It's not looking at them from some higher position, but it's gracious and gentle and is taking care to watch over our own hearts. And the goal is that someone walks in the knowledge of the truth. How about gentleness when emotions are high? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 12:18, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Gentleness when persuasion is needed. Proverbs 25:15, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Gentleness in families. Ephesians 4:6-4 tells fathers, do not exasperate your children. If Titus 3 calls us to show complete courtesy to all, this should surely start in the home. It doesn't matter if your children are the ones being immature. They're children. Harshness is never a means of control. This doesn't mean that there should not be consequences for misbehavior. That is appropriate. But the discipline of children must be done with gentleness. Gentleness in the workplace. Especially towards that person that does tend to push your buttons. Gentleness online. Social media is not a very gentle place. And as God's people, it doesn't say in Titus 2:3, I show perfect courtesy to everyone except when you're online. Then let them have it. It doesn't say that. And yet as soon as we get the anonymity of you've never met that person, we're so tempted to give them the unvarnished truth rather than truth with love, truth tempered by gentleness. Again, none of this means that we're demure. None of this means we don't stand up with a core. None of this means we don't address things that need addressing, but we're called to do so with gentleness. Gentleness in politics. Mudslinging is all too common. And as God's people, even as we speak in the public square for things we think are important and right and good, we're called to do so with gentleness. Where gentleness applies, it applies everywhere. I've listed a handful of specific situations. Maybe I haven't touched on yours. But where else do you need this reminder that God calls us to be a people that show gentleness? So what have we seen this morning as we looked at this together? First of all, we looked at what gentleness is. Gentleness is not being weak. Rather, it's being meek. There's a humility. There's a considerateness. There's a kindness and courtesy. And it has to flow from the heart. A heart that is gentle and humble towards others rather than exalted and proud. How? How gentleness grows? It only begins when we come to Christ, when we recognize that we've been trying to carry burdens that we cannot carry, when we look to Christ for forgiveness of sins, when we look to Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we surrender all of our burdens to Him and discover that He is gentle and lowly in heart. And then it grows as we keep our eyes fixed on Him and we recognize that although we're tempted in our circumstances to allow those circumstances to drive our emotions, rather to remember what our Lord has said and to find that freedom and rest that we have in Him so that we can be gentle even when we're addressing difficult situations that must need addressing. And where gentleness applies, it applies everywhere. Every conversation, the fun and easy ones, the ones where correction is involved, the times when family is laughing, the times when children need correction, in the workplace, online, in politics, every situation you can think of, our Lord calls us to reflect His character in gentleness. So we come to the end, let us look to God in prayer that God would continue to work this fruit of the Spirit in us, that we might give Him honor and glory. O Lord our God, we thank You for this word, that You call us to reflect Your character. And God, we confess how much we need Your reminder and how much we need the grace of the Lord Jesus to do this. So help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, to find our rest in Him, so that we might day by day be transformed into the image of Christ and reflect Your character in our communities and our lives in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.